Let's get to our first guest. He is joining us, the general manager of footy down there at the Freo Dockers. His name is Peter Bell. Welcome, mate.
Carl Hayes, good evening.
Thanks for being on the show, mate. What did you make of the cards that you were dealt yesterday when it came to the fixtures? You happy with it or not?
Probably don't worry too much about analysing and assessing and everything else. Clearly, Brisbane are a very good team. They showed that last year. Probably didn't go as well as they would have liked in round one, but that seems like eons ago. So, look, don't waste any time worrying too much about who we're playing. It's just good to have the certainty. We'll get up there and give the best possible account of ourselves that we can.
Belly, the only bit that I've had my dig at last night is how can West Coast be playing Richmond? That be a home game? And how can you be playing Port Adelaide and be judged as a home game? Do you care?
I mean, it is important, I guess, from the ability to give our great supporters and sponsors the opportunity to get their signage up, digital signage during the broadcast. So that's important. And, of course, our sponsors and supporters have been fantastic during these difficult times, as have most supporters for most clubs. It is a little bit curious, obviously, with the home game against Port Adelaide up on the Gold Coast. And each of the teams have a home game up there. And look, it's on the understanding. And look, a lot would have to change and a lot would have to be negotiated. But the understanding is that somewhere through the middle or towards the tail end of the season that ourselves and West Coast and indeed the respective Adelaide clubs as well would get a run of home games back in their home state. So hopefully that eventuates.
Do you think you'll get 9 home games, Belly?
Not sure, Hayes. That'd be good. But look, there's no certainty around that, there's no certainty around the timing as well. And things could obviously change pretty quickly if the borders changed here in Western Australia and South Australia as well. But look, that's certainly the indications we've been getting from the AFL that they'd try and balance it out as much as possible at some stage in the year. And I think all the clubs and all the supporters would realise that that's the fair and equitable thing. But there's no guarantees, of course. And all we can do is get up there and give a good account of ourselves in the first block of 4.
The other disappointing news is the lack of free-to-air games for Fremantle Dockers supporters. That's not good news for the fans.
No, it's not. And I feel for the fans, obviously, that they won't be able to watch it on free-to-air, but encourage them to try and find a way to watch us up there. It's a difficult one for the AFL and obviously the broadcasters, but I'm sure where there's a will, there's a way for the majority of people, but I genuinely do feel for those that will be unable to watch.
Can hear it live on RD26BR, Belly. I thought I'd better just throw that in while I can, mate. And you know we're pretty good at painting the picture because I've had you in there working alongside me, so you understand.
It's always an entertaining broadcast. There's no doubt about that.
Mate, Monday you saw your majority of your players return to training. First time in 66 days, full contact training. Get any injuries out of that on what was a very wet, horrible and windy day?
It was really difficult. It ended up being not too bad, but we certainly got what we wanted out of it, and that was some more physical contact, clearly, and higher intensity training. We've been really pleased with the condition that the guys have returned from this really awkward period in. So that was a positive. And look, we got through unscathed, as you would expect, given no matter what the training you do, when you get into that close to match sim and contested training and everything else, some players do pull up a little bit sore, so we've had to manage a few through that as well. But so far, touch wood, there's been no soft tissues or the like, and hopefully that continues over the next couple of weeks as we ramp up for round 2.
Belly, what about some of the youngsters? Hayden Young was close through the pre-season. You had to hold him back for a period of time, and Liam Henry back amongst it as well. Can you give us an update on those two, and particularly Hayden Young, whether you think he'll be right to go in round 2?
He's certainly building a pretty good case. He was one of the better trainers, which has been noted by a number of people who are observing training on Monday in really difficult conditions. He kicked the ball beautifully. So, I mean, he's just building his body up slowly and steadily. He's done a lot of work in the lockdown period. So he'll press his claims over the next couple of weeks. And look, all of the guys, Caleb Sarong had a really good lockdown period as well. He's moving really nicely. And Liam Henry. Look, difficult circumstances for Liam up north in the Kimberley. Didn't have access to the same sort of gymnasiums and equipment, and even an oval. The ovals were lockdown as well, so he couldn't train on the ovals. He's out running on the mud flats, apparently. So that made it a little bit challenging for him. But all the guys, like I said before, they've returned in really good condition, so we're heartened by that.
Just on Henry, guys, looks like you've been to the hairdresser, though, Belly. There must be a hairdresser out there in the desert, is there?
Seems to be a bit of a trend at the moment, the silver peroxide or blonde locks. There seems to be a few Targaryens for the Game of Thrones watchers out there that are doing the rounds in the AFL at the moment. Probably not for me, though, or Hayes or you. Oh, actually, Carl, you went pretty blonde for a while. Platinum blonde, so right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, that's right. Belly, what about a few of the guys that didn't do much? Jesse Hogue, we know he's building back. Sam Sturt, looks like he's put the cue on the rack after the three goals that he kicked in round one. And Stephen Hill is the other one that I guess we need a bit more clarity on.
Yeah, look, just managed all of them, a little bit sore in different ways. Really confident that Stephen will be in full training, I'd say, Friday. Jesse also just a bit tight through the hammies and calves, and his program's been quite a bit different. So we want to be really conservative with him, and confident that Sturdy too. We're just managing him through a bit of soreness, confident that he'll be up and going by early next week, hopefully.
Now that you've had a bit of time to think about it, do you think many of the families of the players will go up to the Gold Coast with you?
Look, we're working through that at the moment. The difficulty has been that we're not sure on the exact, first of all, numbers of staff that we're going to take up. Obviously, there's the 25 that have the face-to-face contact with the players. That's been an AFL mandate. We're hopeful, and I understand West Coast are hopeful as well, that we'll be allocated a few extra, given that in all likelihood we'll take up the majority of our squad to southeast Queensland. And so until such time as we have final numbers on the staff numbers, and then we'll work through the sort of staff situation and then on with the players. But that'll happen over the next 2 to 3 days, I reckon. We've been in communication with the partners and the families as much as we possibly could have, but there's still a lot of grey, and we're just seeking some guidance from the AFL there.
Like a few at West Coast, though, Belly, a few of them had kids at school, wouldn't they? So that just wouldn't be feasible for them to go, would it?
Part of it, and every family's circumstance is different, so there's that part of it, and the 2 weeks quarantine on the way back into Western Australia is just too big a barrier, I'd understand, for many families. It just would make it really difficult, but we'll work through that with all the different families and all the different people. We've got no hard and fast rules, and we'll deal with each person's situation.
Mate, do you reckon you're better placed now going into round two than you were going into round one?
Probably from an availability perspective, yeah, definitely. But there's a bit of unknown too, Carl. You really don't know how much of the education and game plan and all those sorts of things have been retained, particularly under pressure. You'd like to think that the majority of it has, but until it gets tested in a match scenario and players are doing it instinctively, you're not sure about that. And there's unknowns about your opposition as well on paper. You'd think that maybe, you know, this opposition might be tougher than the other, and you might get that completely wrong. So I feel like from our perspective that we handled the lockdown really, really well. We want to build over the next couple of weeks. And look, we're really confident, and we can't wait to get up there on southeast Queensland.
Do you and you think the league expect the injury rate, particularly with soft tissues, to increase during the comeback period, particularly the early games of the season?
Look, it's probably high potential for that to happen, Hayes. And I know a lot of people have done research around the NFL when they had the lockout period. I think it was around 2010, 2011. There were quite a lot of injuries during that phase. I've been watching with interest what's been going on in the Bundesliga. There seems to be quite a number of injuries as training had ramped up to competition stage there. So there is that potential. The strength and conditioning staff are doing everything possible to try and mitigate that. And look, the shortened game time and these types of things as well, that could have an impact. But you would think that it'd be likely that there will be more injury just because of the unusual circumstances.
Nice to chat, mate. Thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.